2 weeks ago, we studied a very practical subject, the subject of biblical fellowship and what true fellowship really is. And we looked at the fact that that socializing is often the context that that fellowship occurs in, but that it is possible to socialize without really engaging in true, what the Bible talks about, koinonia fellowship. And so this morning I want to kind of continue on a slightly different theme, but something else that I think is very practical that hopefully will be helpful to us, and that's the discipline, the spiritual discipline of memorizing Scripture. And what prompted me to do this or to study this topic was I heard someone on the radio earlier this week, and he mentioned how Scripture memory had helped him overcome a particular sin in his life. And the man that I heard, his name is Chip Ingram. He's a pastor out in California, and he has a ministry called Living on the Edge. I don't know a lot about him or his, you know, his ministry, but he was being interviewed, and he shared how when he was in college, he had memorized 21 verses from the Bible in 21 days using something called the Navigator's Topical Memory System. And apparently his roommate was doing this, and so he just agreed. He was basically going to help his roommate out, and so he memorized these verses along with his roommate. And but he shared how those verses, memorizing those verses, had helped him to defeat a struggle with lust that he was experiencing. And it reminded me of my own experience as a young Christian. I was converted while I was in college through the Navigators. And if some of you may be familiar with them, it's a parachurch ministry. It's very active on college campuses and in the military. And they do a lot of discipleship training, a lot of one-on-one discipleship training. And one of the things that they emphasize a lot is Scripture memory. And so I had actually used that system, that topical memory system, and I memorized about 60 verses probably during that first year or so that I was a Christian. And so I'm thankful for the foundation that I received kind of in some of these disciplines through my involvement with the Navigators. And we used to actually memorize about, we tried to do 2 verses a week. And so you had a partner, somebody that you were accountable to help you, to review and to go over these verses. And I have to admit that to my shame, I probably memorized more verses from the Bible in those first 2 years that I was a Christian while I was involved in that organization, that ministry, probably than I have since then, you know, which has been quite a few years. And last year I began with Brother Craig. We began working on together, trying to memorize the book of Colossians. And our goal was to memorize one verse a week. And at that pace, we determined that we could get through the entire book in 2 years. And I remember thinking, well, you know, maybe we ought to do 2 verses a week. I used to do 2 verses a week. Well, it was a good thing we only started with one verse a week. We did pretty well for about 8 or 9 months. We got sidetracked for a few months, and now we're trying to get back on track. And I think we're probably on more like a 3-year plan now. But the point is, I want to press ahead with that. And I know that some of you also have plans or are currently memorizing verses or passages from the Bible. And I want to encourage you in that. And I'm also hoping to kind of re-motivate myself in this discipline. So my objective this morning is to discuss the purpose and benefits of memorizing Scripture, some obstacles that we face when we're trying to do this, and then some practical tips that hopefully will help us. All right, so what are some of the benefits of memorizing Scripture? Why should we do this? Well, there are several reasons why this is beneficial and important. And let me give you a few. One, memorization supplies spiritual power to overcome temptation and sin. You know, when you store up Scripture in your mind, it's available for the Holy Spirit to use and to bring to your attention when you need it most. Right? Now, there's a well-known text that addresses this really very specifically. Can anybody think of that verse? from the Psalms. Psalm 119, verses 9 and 11. This is what the psalmist says. Verse 9, he says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word." And then verse 11, "I have stored up," or the King James has hidden, "I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you." Okay? So, you know, in this text, it's addressed specifically to young men. So, you know, how can a young man keep his way pure? And I know we have a lot of young men in our congregation. Are you concerned about keeping yourself pure? Well, this text tells us that, one means of keeping your ways pure is by storing up or hiding God's word in your mind and heart. And obviously this has application to all of us, not just to young men, but it's addressed, has a specific or a special application to young men. So how does storing up Scripture in our mind and heart empower someone to overcome temptation? Well, when you or I are tempted to do something, to look at something, to think or to say something that we know is wrong or sinful, having a verse memorized that pertains to that situation is a weapon that the Holy Spirit can use to help us in fighting against that temptation. Now, maybe you have a verse like Colossians 3, verse 2 memorized. It says, "Set your mind on things that are above and not on things that are on the earth." You've got that verse memorized, and that comes to mind. That helps. That might help you to direct your thoughts. Or you have a verse like Philippians 4:8 memorized. Anybody know that verse by any chance? Philippians 4:8 talks about the things we should think about. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Okay? That would be a good verse to have stored up in your mind. So when the Holy Spirit brings a verse, a definite verse to mind like that, that can be an illustration of what Ephesians 6:17 means when it speaks of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You remember that passage in Ephesians 6 that's in the context of putting on the whole armor of God? And you remember we're told to, in order to stand against the spiritual forces of evil, and one of the weapons that we're instructed to take up is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So having a scriptural truth embedded in your mind is a sword that the Spirit can use to help enable you to slay a temptation or a sin when you're in a spiritual conflict or in a spiritual battle. Can anybody think of there's a kind of a prime biblical illustration of this principle? Anybody think of a good example from the Bible of someone using Scripture stored up in their mind to defeat temptation? Christ. Yeah. Right? Jesus himself, right? When he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, it's recorded in Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Right? Each time the devil tempted Jesus, how did Christ respond? Well, he responded with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. He used Scripture that he had memorized to defeat Satan's temptations. Even when Satan himself tried to use Scripture to try to tempt him, right? In verse 6, the devil says, this is in the second temptation, he says, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." So the devil actually quotes Psalm 91 in his attempt to tempt Christ, right? And then Jesus, of course, responds with Scripture of his own. So one of the ways that we can experience more spiritual victories is to follow Jesus' example and to memorize Scripture so that it's available for the Holy Spirit to bring to our mind when we're in a spiritual conflict and when we're tempted to sin, right? Okay, so that's a prime benefit of having verses stored up in your mind, stored up in your heart. Okay, another benefit is that memorizing Scripture is a means of strengthening your faith. Do any of you want your faith to be strengthened? Yeah, I mean, all of us, all Christians want to have a stronger and deeper faith, right? Well, one way that we can do that is to discipline ourselves to memorize Scripture. Listen to what Proverbs 22, verses 17 through 19. Listen to what the writer to Proverbs says. He says, "Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart or your mind to my knowledge, for it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, if all of them are ready on your lips, that your trust may be in the Lord. I have made them known to you today, even to you." Okay, so he says here in this passage, he talks about applying your mind to the words of the wise, and he speaks of keeping them within you and having them ready on your lips. So all that certainly applies to this idea of studying and storing up Scripture, memorizing Scripture. But if you notice that the reason that the writer he gives for having Scripture within you and having it ready on your lips there in verse 19 is so that your trust may be in the Lord. Okay? So having Scripture memorized helps to strengthen our faith because it reinforces the truth that we know. And often at a time just when you need to be reminded. You need to hear it again. And you've got it stored there in your mind. Let's say you're going through a trial or a difficulty of some sort. Maybe it's a financial struggle you're having. And you're tempted to doubt God's provision. Well, then if you remember the promise of Philippians 4:19, where God promises to supply the need of every need of those who are generous toward Him. Does anybody know Philippians 4:19? Anybody quote that? "And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Okay? All right. So that's a promise that's given to those who are generous to God. So if you have that verse stored up in your head, that can be a means of strengthening your resolve to give to God and to trust Him to provide all of your needs. It means of strengthening your faith, right? Or maybe you're doubting your salvation and you're confused about the whole doctrine of election, and maybe you're wondering if you're one of the elect, and you're having doubts and it's causing you some spiritual confusion. Well, if you've memorized a verse or a passage like John 6:37, where Jesus promises that all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Well, that can be a tremendous help to your faith, right? You can say, "Lord, I come to you. I come to you as I am, and I believe this promise that you will never cast out one who comes to you in faith." All right, so having verses like that stored up in your mind can be a means of strengthening your faith. All right. Another benefit of memorizing Scripture is it can be a great help in witnessing and in counseling. All right, and you remember on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when Peter, he stands up and he's inspired by the Spirit, he preaches an evangelistic sermon, and 3,000 people are converted. Remember that account, Acts chapter 2? Well, what did much of his sermon consist of? Yeah, they were actually direct quotations from the Old Testament. He quoted the prophet Joel, and he quoted at least two Psalms. Right? Now there's probably a difference between Peter's uniquely inspired sermon and situations we may encounter, spontaneous situations where we're led to witness to someone or to preach, but his experience demonstrates how having Scripture memorized can prepare us to be ready for unexpected witnessing or counseling opportunities. Have you ever been witnessing to someone and you know there's a verse or a passage that directly addresses their question or their objection? And you know there's a passage, but you just can't remember exactly where in the Bible it is. You ever had that experience? Yeah. Well, having key passages of Scripture memorized will help you in situations like that. And the same thing applies to counseling. You know, let's say someone comes to you, a brother or sister comes to you, and they need advice about something. Having verses memorized that pertain to various issues or the issue that they're asking about can be a great help in giving godly counsel to others. All right? Okay, so that's another benefit of having Scripture memorized, having it stored up in your heart and your mind. Another benefit is that memorization can be a means of God's guidance. Right? In Psalm 119, the psalmist says in verse 24, Psalm 119, he says, "Your testimonies are my delight, they are my counselors." And in verse 105 of Psalm 119, he declares that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. All right. Well, lamps are used to guide us when we're in the dark or we don't know which way to go. And do any of us need counsel or guidance? Yeah, we all do on a regular basis, right? So in the same way that the Holy Spirit can bring to mind scriptural truth that's stored in our memory for use in counseling others, he can also bring those truths to our minds to provide guidance for ourselves, right? All right. So having Scripture stored up can be a means of God providing guidance and direction to ourselves. All right, and then another benefit that I think maybe we don't think about as much is memorizing Scripture stimulates and promotes meditation. It stimulates and promotes meditation. And, you know, in our day, the concept of meditation has somewhat of a negative connotation, right? You know, we tend to associate meditating with, you know, transcendental meditation or yoga or, you know, Eastern religions, New Age religions, right? That's kind of typically what comes to mind. But the meditation that's taught by these false religious movements, excuse me, is vastly different from the meditation that's encouraged in the Bible, right? The meditation that's taught by New Age movements emphasizes emptying your mind as much as possible and trying to reach a point of total mental passivity, right? Or trying to somehow visualize your own reality. That's what's involved in a lot of the meditation of the world, right? But Christian meditation, on the other hand, rather than emptying your mind, involves filling your mind as much as possible with God and with His truth. Instead of being a passive exercise, it requires a great deal of mental exertion and activity. Donald Whitney, in his book, Spiritual Disciplines of the Christian Life, which is really a book I highly recommend reading, something probably need to read periodically. But he defines meditation as deep thinking on the truths and spiritual realities revealed in Scripture for the purposes of understanding, application, and prayer. Let me read that again. He says, meditation is deep thinking on the truths and spiritual realities revealed in Scripture for the purposes of understanding, application, and prayer. All right? And I think that's a good definition. So meditation goes beyond just hearing, reading, studying, and even memorizing as a means of taking in God's Word. You may have heard this analogy, you know, of a cow chewing its cud. But I think it's a good analogy. You know, a cow eats by chewing its food, and it swallows it. And the food then is partially digested in its stomach. Okay? And then the stomach muscles in the cow actually force the food back up into the mouth, and it chews it again, and then ultimately it's swallowed again and then completely digested. That process is called rumination. All right? So, but bear with me. I'm trying to make a spiritual application here. Okay? Don't get too caught up in the biology. So, to ruminate is defined by the dictionary as to chew again something that has been chewed slightly and swallowed, or to go over in the mind repeatedly and often casually and slowly. Okay? So that's the point. So the idea is that we should ruminate or meditate on God's Word, go over it slowly in our mind, chew on it, think about it, digest it. And memorizing Scripture is a means to help facilitate meditation. All right, let me just talk a little bit about the whole subject of meditation. The Bible refers to four general objects of meditation, four things that we should meditate on. All right, and the one that's mentioned much more often than any other is meditating on the content of Scripture itself, meditating on God's Word. And Psalm 119 has many of these references where in different verses the psalmist says he will meditate on God's precepts, His ways, His decrees, His law, His statutes, and His promises, various parts of Psalm 119. In Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2, the psalmist says that blessed is the man, or happy is the man, whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law he meditates day and night. All right, so the primary focus of our meditation should be on God's Word, meditating on Scripture, meditating on God's statutes, His decrees, His promises. But there are three other things that we're told, we are given some instruction to meditate on. Can anybody think of what those things are besides the Scripture itself, God's Word? What else should we meditate on? Christ? Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Another is God's creation, the creation, right? In Psalm 143, verse 5, David says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. Okay? So it's appropriate to we can meditate on creation, meditate on what God has done, His creative power. Another object of meditation, something that we're given some biblical reference to, is God's providence. All right? His working in history. In Psalm 77, in verse 12, the psalmist says, I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. All right? So it's appropriate. We can meditate on what God has done in history. We can meditate on what God has done in our own lives. We can think about the things that He's done. All right? Also in Psalm 145, verse 5, David declares, and on your wondrous works I will meditate. All right? So we can and should meditate on God's his creation, his providence. And then the fourth object of our meditation, as Craig pointed out, should be really God Himself, Christ, or God's character. Psalm 63, this is an interesting verse. Psalm 63, verses 5 and 6. David says, my soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. And that's a wonderful promise. Would you like your soul to be satisfied with fat and rich food? All right. Well, David says, when he meditated upon God in the watches of the night, his soul was satisfied with fat and rich food. And that's a good practice Sometime, if you can't fall asleep, well, meditate. Meditate on God Himself. Meditate on His Word. That'll be a means of strengthening and enriching your soul. And then in Psalm 145, verse 5, David also says, In the second part of that verse, he says, "On the glorious splendor of your majesty, I will meditate." All right. So on God's character, His majesty—that's something else that we can and should meditate. We should think deeply upon. All right. So how does memorizing Scripture stimulate meditation? Well, if you've memorized a verse, then the advantage is you can meditate upon it really pretty much anywhere you are at any time doing just about anything because you've got it stored up in your mind, right? You don't have to have your Bible with you or you don't have to be somewhere where you can read. And so if you love God's Word enough to memorize it, then you can become like Psalm 119, verse 97, the writer there, he says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." Okay? Well, one of the ways that we can meditate on God's law and on His Word all the day is if we have it stored up in our minds. We can meditate at night. We can meditate when we're trying to go to sleep. All right? And again, in Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2 that we just looked at, we're told that blessed or happy is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And then in the next verse, there in verse 3 of Psalm 1, a promise is given, right, regarding those who meditate on God's law day and night. A promise is given that in all that he does, he prospers. All right? And so there's a connection between the practice of meditating on and delighting in God's Word and spiritual prosperity or success. All right? So if you're struggling spiritually with some things, maybe it's due to a lack of meditation on the Word of God. Okay? And there's a similar connection made between meditation and spiritual prosperity in Joshua 1:8. It's a fairly well-known verse. Anybody know Joshua 1:8? Anybody can quote that from memory? That's where God speaks to Joshua. He tells Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." All right. So again, memorizing Scripture is a means of fostering meditation by making scriptural truth more accessible for the purpose of meditating upon it. So if you've stored up deposits of truth into your mind and heart, it's easier to ruminate or to think deeply about those truths. All right. Okay, so that's a fourth benefit of memorizing Scripture. It's a means of helping and facilitating this process of meditating and thinking deeply upon God's truth. All right, so what are some obstacles and hindrances to memorizing? Why is it that if there are so many blessings associated with memorizing God's Word, why is it that some of us, perhaps maybe many of us, haven't been very successful with this discipline, this spiritual discipline? And I think there are several reasons for this. All right. Well, one could be possibly. I know we've got a lot of new and young Christians in our midst, in our church, and maybe some of you have never received any instruction on this subject, or you've never really even thought about memorizing Scripture. And you know, so this whole thing could be a new idea, a new concept. Well, if that's the case, hopefully you can see that the many benefits of doing this, and hopefully this will be a motivation to help you to begin a plan of pursuing some studying and memorizing God's Word. But another objection or another obstacle that some people have, maybe a lot of people, is, I just don't have a good memory. All right? Have you ever thought that? But, you know, really, that's a poor excuse, right? I mean, because most of us, really, memorizing most of the time is really a problem of motivation more than ability. You know, if you can remember names of people, telephone numbers, addresses, birthdays, then you can memorize the Bible, all right? And the question really is whether you and I are willing to discipline ourselves to do it. That's really the critical issue. You know, those of us that have small children know how well our children can memorize verses and even fairly long passages. And if a 5- and 6-year-old children can do this, then certainly those of us who are adults can apply ourselves and do this, right? Dawson Trotman, who is the founder of that organization I talked about, the Navigators, he was converted back in, I think it was the 1920s or so. But he committed to memorizing one verse a day when he was first saved. He made a commitment to himself to do that. And he was, at the time, he was driving a truck for a lumber yard in Los Angeles. So while he was driving around town, he would work on his verse for that day. So during the first 3 years of his Christian life, he memorized his first 1,000 verses. All right. Some of you may also be familiar with a man by the name of Hank Hanegraaff. You heard of him? He's on the radio. He's got a radio talk show. It's a call-in radio show called The Bible Answer Man. He's on at, I think, 6 o'clock on KSLR. And some people call in and ask, a question really about any question, about the Bible at all. And he does a pretty good job of answering questions quickly. And I understand that he has memorized the entire book of Proverbs, which, if you're familiar with the Proverbs, you can appreciate how difficult that would be to do. I mean, the Proverbs are kind of disjointed. There's that would be very difficult to do. And he wasn't boasting about that, but I heard another guest on the show one time mention that. So, now obviously some people have, greater mental ability than others to memorize things, and most of us aren't, driving a truck during the day, so we'd have lots of time to work on this. But the point is that all of us have the capacity to memorize Scripture if we're willing to make the effort to do so. Another obstacle that's really kind of closely related to the one that we just talked about is the fact that memorizing Scripture, like any other spiritual discipline, whether it's reading the Bible or prayer or fasting, evangelism, it requires work and mental effort. All right, there's no way around it. And so why do so many Christians neglect this? Well, listen to what R.C. Sproul says in his book. He wrote a book called Knowing Scripture. And he's referring to the neglect among Christians just of studying the Bible, right? Not even memorizing, which is really, kind of beyond, you need to spend time studying the Bible, but then to memorize is really kind of additional work and effort. So he's just talking about the general neglect in his experience of Christians for even studying the Bible. And this is what he says. And it certainly applies to memorizing Scripture as well. He says, here then is the real problem of our negligence. We fail in our duty to study God's Word, not so much because it is difficult to understand, not so much because it is dull and boring, but because it is work. Our problem is not a lack of intelligence or a lack of passion. Our problem is that we are lazy. And I think there's truth to his statement. All right. Okay, well, let me just, conclusion here and wrapping up, let me state that there are many spiritual benefits to cultivating a discipline of memorizing Scripture, right? And we talked about them. as a means of overcoming sin, as a means of strengthening faith, as a means of helping and witnessing and counseling, as a means of providing guidance to ourselves, and as a means of facilitating meditation on God's Word, right? So there are many benefits, many spiritual benefits, right? But let me just try to give you some tips to help progressing or being successful from some of my success in the past. One is have a plan. You need to have some kind of a plan for memorizing. And you can purchase prepackaged scripture memory plans like the one I mentioned. It's called the Topical Memory System, which is a very good. It was broken down by various topics, and there were, like, I think 12 verses to each topic, 5 topics, you know, having to do with prayer or evangelism or the Christian life. And they actually come on little cards, little index cards. You have the verse, and it's got different versions of the Bible, and you can actually carry them with you. All right? So that's something you could do. You can buy some of these plans, or you could pick maybe a topic, some issue that you're struggling with, and you could find verses in the Bible that pertain to that issue and commit to memorizing those verses. Or you could pick a chapter or a book of the Bible, as Brother Craig and I are working on doing. But you need to have a plan of some kind in order to really be successful in memorizing. A second tip would be to write out the verses, write them out on a card, or make a copy from your Bible. That way you can have them with you and carry them with you wherever you go. Okay? And so when you have some downtime or you got some free time, you're out, you can refer to them and you can work on your memorization. Another tip is to try to memorize word perfectly. And there may be a temptation not to do that or to kind of, you know, be sloppy or not to try to get it exactly accurate, but I think it's a good idea to try to memorize perfectly. That way you'll have, if you don't, you'll lose confidence when you go to try to use that verse. If you're trying to witness or you're trying to counsel and you don't know it exactly right, you're going to lose confidence. All right, so make an effort to try to memorize perfectly, and it'll also be a lot easier to review if you've learned verses accurately. All right, another tip is to review and meditate regularly. In order to retain what you've learned, you need to review regularly. Donald Whitney, in his book, he says that at some point, it's not unusual to spend 80% of your time just reviewing the verses that you've already memorized. Okay, but that, you know, he says that shouldn't discourage you. I mean, if you've got these weapons stored up, these swords stored up in your mind, you need to spend time polishing them, keeping them sharp. Right? Another suggestion, another tip is to find someone to memorize with to help keep you accountable. You know, I mean, some people, you might have the discipline to be accountable to yourselves, like this Dawson Trotman, but most of us need someone else to meet with or talk with regularly in order to be consistent. Okay, and I know that for me, having somebody that I know is going to check up on me is a motivation. It's a help for me to press ahead. Another tip is if you have any kind of musical talent, you can put scripture to song or write a tune. Because that's a very good way to remember. Somehow there's something about singing and music that is connected to memory. I remember when I was first saved, I have a friend, I mentioned him before, Brian Wheeler back in Florida, who had worked with maybe Pat Horner here, I think. But he had put a lot of scripture to tune. And so a lot of them were psalms and various passages from the Bible. And so I learned those, you know, 20, maybe 25 years ago, and I haven't reviewed those. But occasionally, you know, we'll sing some scripture songs here, and I remember them. They come to my mind. So if you have any kind of musical ability or gift, that's a good way to help reinforce verses in your memory. And then Remember, though, that memorizing Scripture is not an end in itself, right? The goal is not to see how many verses we can memorize, but the goal, or how many passages or how many books, but the goal is godliness and conformity to the image of Christ. That's the goal, you know, of this discipline or any discipline that you engage in. So the goal is to memorize the Word of God so that it can transform our minds and our lives. Okay? So those are some tips, some helps that I hope will help you to consider the value of memorizing Scripture, the benefits of doing it, and hopefully to overcome some of the obstacles that we might face in pursuing this. Does anybody have any questions or any other verses that come to your mind? Or anybody have any passage of Scripture memorized that they'd like to get up and quote? Okay. Yeah, that's why you can never go wrong with Scripture. I mean, quoting, you know, if you're talking, engaging with someone, you can't go wrong with the words of God. That's right. So if you've got Scripture stored up in your mind, then you're able to do that, to share that, to communicate that with others. Good. Brother John. Pastor John, sorry. Yeah, thanks, and that's true, and that can be a danger that you can, just having things stored up in your mind isn't in itself necessarily profitable, but it should point us to Christ, and it should make us the whole idea is to know God better. Go ahead, James. Right. Exactly. Yeah, that's right. And that's really the final, yeah, I mean, memorization should lead to meditation, which should lead to application, which is really what, but you can't get there if you don't have it stored up. You don't know it, or you don't have it stored up. Yeah. He had a deep knowledge. Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Okay, good. Any final comments? Thoughts? Oh, man. Greg, are you ready to go on Colossians? Or? He asked if we could do a little memorization from Colossians. How about next week, Diego? There you go. All right. I've worked on it, but we'll pass on that. Thank you. Next time. That's right. All right. Well, let's close in prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this time together. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what it teaches us about you and about your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. And we just pray, Lord, that you'd help us to value and to treasure more your word and to make the effort to not only study your word, but to seek to memorize it, to store it up in our hearts and our minds, that it might help us in overcoming sin, that it might help us to know you better, and it might help us to communicate your truths and the truths about your Son more effectively to others. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to see the value and the benefit of doing this, and you would stir us up to engage ourselves to do this. We pray that you would bless our time, the remainder of our time today, bless the service and the worship to come. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.